Backseat Box Office, episode number 12, for the weekend December 10th through the 12th, 2010.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Andrew.
This is Jonathan.
And we are the Backseat Producers. We are a dozen episodes old now.
Woo! Pop the champagne.
Or a box of donuts.
12 donuts in a box, 12 episodes. Brilliant!
That took you way too long.
I had to do the math, man.
But you know what?
I'm not like Jonathan. I'm not a good math guy.
I was going to say the other thing that has 12 in it, case of beer, but none of us is David, so.
That's true.
So, should we just jump right into our Mark of the Beast episode?
Jump on in. We scored a new achievement, Mark of the Beast, 666.
Each of us picked up 60% on our projections from last weekend, so and we're feeling pretty good of ourselves, aren't we?
Yeah, and we've talked about this. We talked about this offline, that we're thinking about doing an achievements page on the website to keep track of our achievements as we score them. So,
yeah, I think that'd be pretty hot.
And there was even discussion of tracking listener achievements if they bother to comment on the website, send an email, send in voicemail. There may be achievements involved. Just saying.
That would even be hotter. So let's look at how the movies did last weekend. Last weekend, Tangled surged up from number two to take the number one spot away from Harry Potter. Tangled brought in $21 million. Harry Potter slid to number two and brought in $17.0 million. Burlesque jumped up a spot, actually, to number three and brought in $6.1 million. Unstoppable is at number four with $5.9 million. And Love and Other Drugs brought in $5.6 million at number five.
That is a really low-scoring three through five, dollar-wise.
Weekend after Thanksgiving. Always is terrible for box office returns.
Yep. So.
Well played, sir.
I did my researches.
Hey, you nailed one through three. You did.
I did pull that off. And I would like to say in the show notes for last week, Burlesque, really, Jonathan, really? That was written there. Who looks foolish now?
I wonder what jackass did that.
You know what's even more foolish is the fact that he has the ability to edit that out, and he didn't.
That is brilliant.
He could have rewritten history and didn't bother.
You know, it morally hurts me. It hurts me to my spirit that Burlesque, it was at number three this week.
I told you, humanity will always fail you.
Except when it doesn't fail you, and then you complain that it didn't fail you.
No. See, even in those instances, humanity failed me. There have been times where I have bet against the failures of humanity, and
you still and lose.
I was like, I'm going to have some optimism, and then I lost.
I think we all got one and two right.
Well, we didn't all get one and two right.
No.
You'll notice that
Liam
isn't back. I think that the Irish mafia might have taken him out to have words after made such a
first
disgrace. Of
Liam unlocked first episode zero. nobody hit that one yet. And by all rights, I think we should tap an achievement for Daryl for not really giving us five choices.
And the one choice he did give us.
Was wrong.
That's the I don't give a crap and I'm wrong at you.
Yeah. I just want to go have a beer and wings. Will you people shut up? I think that was that's going to be the name of his achievement. By the way, beer and wings, both excellent.
That's very good to hear. So I think, Tony, am I incorrect saying that we both also picked Love and Other Drugs as our third movie that we got right last weekend?
Yeah, we both picked it for the fifth place position, and we were both correct. We both picked Megamind for fourth place, and we were both incorrect. Correct. I picked Unstoppable for the third position, and I believe that was in the fourth position.
Correct.
If I'm not mistaken. How did the Warriors' Way go, gentlemen?
Not well.
Disgraceful death?
It got lost along the way.
If it hasn't committed seppuku yet.
The Warriors, see, Tony, what you don't understand is the Warriors' Way is not a straight line. It's not a straight line from between two points. There's lots of branches and curves and turns.
So its first trip was into the valley, is what you're telling me.
Exactly right. All right. Exactly right.
That's fair.
It opened at number 9, for the record.
Ouch.
Yeah, that was ugly.
I have to say, I did kind of see that one coming, considering it only opened in 1,500 theaters. We talked about that, boys.
Well, you know,
1,500 theaters still.
For an opening weekend is not much.
And it could have done better than $1,800.
It could have. It could have. Only being in 1,500 theaters, it was at the mercy of only being probably on like one screen at each theater that it was at, and focused more on like the art house kind of theaters and the smaller venues instead of the big, you know, multiplex kind of places.
Well, I had a couple friends who went to go see it over the weekend, and their short review to me was, we went in knowing it was going to be an odd movie, but when we came out, we were like, their opinion was, that was even too weird for them going in knowing it was a weird movie. Because I guess there's more to it just than Western and ninjas. I think it also goes sci-fi.
Yeah, the trailer has like a giant Ferris wheel. It's the trailer is really weird, so I'm not at all surprised to learn that
I'm gonna read a snippet from Darren's review. It's toward the end where he's kind of summing things up. The Warrior's Way is a beautiful and exciting film, just loaded with heart, and heart goes a long way. I don't expect this to appeal to everyone, but I had a ball with this. I can't wait to see it again. That's from Darren.
Well, speaking of small release films, guess what's playing in my hometown right now?
No. Oh. Are you going?
Fair Game. It's playing at our local art house cinema.
Do you already have your tickets?
I haven't purchased them in advance yet. No, but I think come on. I think I'll get there early, get the comfy couch, get a nice glass of wine, and enjoy it.
You need to blog your experience. Just saying.
You have been live-tweeted.
Live-tweeted. Live-tweeted, then blog it on Backseat Producers. I expect that. It's your assignment and editing this podcast. Because it's your week.
I will take this assignment. I accept it. But I'm looking forward to seeing it because I don't know why, but somehow I become infatuated with it. So I want to see how it actually turns out.
Well, didn't you discover that it's not a remake of it?
Yeah. So, you know, when I first heard about this, there were no actual reviews out there for it. And, you know, it's a Fair Game 2010. I assumed it was a remake. No, it turns out actually it's based upon the book about the Valerie Plame outing from you know, several years ago, obviously. But I saw that at the bookstore. I was like, well, this makes a lot more sense.
That's research well done there, sir.
I am nothing if not a amateur. So, yeah, I'm going to try to get out and see it this Thursday, tomorrow night, though. And I'll let you guys know how it goes. Oh, and speaking of letting you know how it goes, if you were paying any attention to my Twitter feed over the weekend, you know that I had a bit of a disaster at the house.
I did not notice this. What happened?
Well, I tried to make the chirp pump over the weekend.
What happened?
Well, so I went in to make the first layer, and I learned some important lessons. apparently, the increased density of the pie inside the cake makes it really hard for that batter on top of the pie to actually bake.
Oh.
So the first one came out, and the cake was otherwise very good, very well baked, except on the center of the pie where it's still liquid.
Yeah, I guess you would have to preheat the pie.
Well, the second one I made, because I went ahead and tried the second layer as a learning experience, and I put a lot more cake batter underneath the pie and put very little on the top, and that turned out very well. I just put too much on top in the first one.
Okay.
Did you pre-bake the pies?
Yeah, the instructions are that you're supposed to bake the pies and fully let them cool before you try to make the cake pie. Mm-hmm. With what I've learned, I feel very confident that, when I take a stab at it again before the holidays, that, I will be successful. But it was a letdown because I was very excited. And you know what? Even though it didn't come out quite right, it was still delicious. Just put some frosting on that bad boy and went to town.
Nice.
Oh, it was good. Apple with the spice cake. Oh, God, I want to go eat some right now. I'm hungry. Let's talk about something else.
Well, I was gonna say I don't know about fair game, but there is an art house flick coming out next week that I'm actually kind of looking forward to. It's The Tempest. It's a
adaptation,
new version of the Shakespeare play, and I don't know. I got nothing else to say about it. But
is it something you're looking forward to checking out?
Yeah, I think I actually want to go and it's directed by Julie Taymor. She did. I don't know if you guys watched Titus and she did, which was really kind of freaky and violent and gory, mm-hmm. and kind of like the play is. But
now, is there anyone starring in this that we would know about?
Yeah, actually,
the hottest woman over the age of 60 that we know,
Helen Mirren.
Yes,
Helen Mirren. She's playing Prospera. The play is about Prospero, who is a wizard that's banned from England or whatever, and they've switched it to a woman playing the role, and Helen Mirren is in the role. So
am I guessing that now Tony Mass is interested in seeing this?
Maybe. Though I'm looking at Rotten Tomatoes, and it's not promising.
Yeah, I read the reviews, and I don't know, they seem a little like they don't get it.
And that very well,
I don't know that I trust those reviews.
Is this a highly stylized version? Is this the old English? Is it a modern remake? What's the general mood and setting for these remakes she's been doing?
Well, the trick is, like, Titus Andronicus was weird.
Yeah, it was.
It was extremely stylized. There were bits that were like, you had sort of this Roman Empire mixed with kind of German World War II, and then it was very strange. So a lot of the people I saw complaining about the movie, a lot of the reviews that I read were that the actors weren't letting the words speak for themselves, that they were putting too much into the characters. And I was like, you all sound like pretentious dicks to me. So
well, even
it's one of those movies that I think I want to see on my own and without the critic.
Yeah. Yeah, even the positive reviews on Rotten Tomatoes are rough. Theatrically ambitious, musically busy, and in the end, cinematically inert. That's one of the positive reviews. The role of Ariel is always a bit difficult. The camera spent an excruciatingly long time making sure we noticed those breasts. After a while, I wanted to yell, "I get it. Unisex, move on." And finally, the third of the 11 reviews, there are three that are positive. This is the third one. Lacks some of the magical qualities that lifts its story into the realms of classic fantasy, but it has two performances apart from Mirren's exempt from that criticism.
Oh.
That is the weirdest positive review I think I've ever read.
Well, speaking for myself, there are many movies that I very much enjoy that other people like to hate on, and I wouldn't mention names like Gladiator or Scott Pilgrim, but I could see how you could enjoy this movie, Jonathan, even though the critics might be hating.
Well, I'm a big Shakespeare fan, so, you know, screw all of them.
Yeah, this could be the movie made for you.
Probably not, but I'm willing to give it a try.
Though, in Julie Taymor's defense, I really did like Across the Universe.
That one I haven't actually gotten the chance to see yet.
That was pretty good. I really did enjoy that one. The one where they basically base a storyline on Beatles songs. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool. It was trippy. I mean, it was trippy and stylized, but but cool. I mean, I like Beatles songs. I'm not a huge fan or anything, but I appreciate their music. And for a casual Beatles fan, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good.
Cool.
You do kind of have to dig Beatles songs at least a little bit because it's full of them. If you're not a fan of the Beatles, probably not for you. Yeah, so is there only one big release this week? Am I seeing that right?
Two.
Oh, two?
Two.
The Voyage of the Dawn Treader comes out this weekend.
Right.
And The Tourist with Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie.
Oh, yeah. I had the opportunity to go see that tomorrow night at a local theater for freebies. I opted not to. I figured I'm going
to... You decided you had better things to do with your time?
I decided that if I'm going to spend my spousal permission units, my SPUs as they are, to go to a movie by myself during the week, I'm saving up for the midnight movie next Thursday night. IMAX 3D Tron.
Nice.
Very nice.
So I'm saving up. If I'm going to cheat on my family time, I'm going to do it with Tron.
It takes a certain level for you to neglect your family, and The Tourist is just not at that level, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, fair enough.
I want to stick around and hang out with my family tomorrow night, as opposed to go seeing The Tourist for free on the other freaking side of St. Louis. That might be another problem with it, is the fact that it's like an hour away from here. But, Oof. Yeah.
Yeah, so this weekend we got the two new ones. We've got Voyage of the Dawn Treader, the new Chronicles of Narnia film, starring, you know, Ben Barnes, George Henley, Will Poulter, or Skandar Canes. I don't know who that is.
That's awesome.
But anyway, it's the next in the...
it doesn't matter. That's awesome. It's the next Chronicles of Narnia. So.
Right. And then, of course, The Tourist is coming out, starring Angelina Jolie and Johnny Depp. So where do we think this is going to fit into our current top five lineup, guys?
I don't know. I went first last time. I don't want to do it again.
I think we decided in committee that Jonathan, since he got 1 through 3 and has been gloating about Burlesque, should go first. Right, Tony?
Yes, this is true.
I'm pretty sure I said that on my own on Monday.
Good.
That's all right.
Go.
So you agree. What I'm hearing from you, Jonathan, is that you agree.
Oh, well, all right. I actually had a list.
Not so easy going first, is it?
I've just forgotten what my list was. I was like, wait, I had this plan. Oh, crap. I didn't write it down because I was following the Tony Mass plan. So
That plan is a high degree of difficulty to pull off. That's not an easy plan.
I should get bonus points for that. There should be a difficulty rating on that.
Even Tony doesn't pull that off on a regular basis. So.
I really don't. I really don't.
All right. So I'm going to say number one, Chronicles of Narnia. Number two, Tangled. Number three, Harry Potter. Number four, we'll go with The Tourist. Pretty sure that Harry Potter can do better than The Tourist, even with the controversy and the everything surrounding that. Number five is kind of the rough one. do we risk Burlesque again for another week?
I think you know my answer to that. But, hey, I was wrong last week, so don't listen to me.
Oh, I don't. Don't worry. Yeah, let's do it. Let's go Burlesque at number five. Because I don't think there's not much difference between the two, but I don't think Unstoppable can take it when you've got... I would imagine that The Tourist will take Unstoppable's audience a little bit more. So we'll go with Burlesque at number five.
All right, well, I feel dirty, but you're probably going to be right again, so I shouldn't complain. After I mouthed off last week in the show notes, I should probably just keep it to myself this week.
Well, I will say that this week I didn't do any research at all. I didn't look into a damn thing. So you're going
full on Tony Mast with this one.
I'm going full Mast with this one.
Well, we'll let Tony go last, I think. We'll just bring him around to the end of the rotation. I'll take the second spot. I'm struggling with the whole idea of how much will the tourists make? Because if it brings in 10 million, it should beat out Harry Potter. It's just, I keep going back and forth close. In my brain. But
it'll be close if it does.
I mean, Harry Potter's consistently dropped more than 50% each week. So, I mean, do I take the Tony Mast method and just say, when in doubt, 10 million out? all right, well, here's my list. I'll figure this out as I say them slowly. At number one, I've got Chronicles of Narnia, the Voyage of the Dawn Treader, as well. At number two, I've Tangled. At number three, I'm going to put The Tourist. Number four, I'm going to put Harry Potter. And, you know, I died on my cross last week not putting Burlesque in my top five. I'm not going to stop now. Now it's a moral stand. Now we're talking about our society and what's wrong with it. So I'm going to put Unstoppable at number five.
Let me answer that question for you just real quickly. Really.
Oh, please, please.
Everything.
All right, good to know. That actually sums things up. That's not too hard to figure out then. Just everything.
What's wrong with society? Everything. we fail as people.
Great. Now I'm not going to be able to sleep at night. Thanks. Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks, pal.
I like to bring the cynicism.
You you bring joy into my heart today. All right. Tony, you've had a few minutes. You've heard Jonathan. You heard
I have.
Prognosticate. What do you think is going to happen? How's it going to go down?
I'm going to shock people with what I'm going to say. But mostly not.
Well, you haven't started.
Okay, so number one, The Chronicles of Narnia, Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Number two, Tangled. Three, I'm going to say Harry Potter still. I'm not sure that The Tourist, I just haven't seen as much press for it, so I'm going to stick with that at number four. I think I'm going to play the math card on number five. And
oh, no, you didn't.
I may have. And actually say that I think Love and Other Drugs will maintain at number five.
Really?
It's dropping less quickly than Burlesque or Unstoppable, and there's only $500,000 between the three movies as of last week. So
Tony?
That's gutsy.
You didn't pick Burlesque at number five, so I fully support this. Fully support it.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's what I've got.
All right. Being another interesting week at the box office. I think our big point of contention is, A, what'll be number five, and B, will The Tourist beat out Harry Potter? And if it does, I will be talking some smack next week.
Yeah. It's nice having weeks where there's only one or two releases because we kind of know how most of the other movies are going to do. But I got to be honest, I'm kind of looking forward to next week when we've got three wide release movies coming out, just to mix things up a little bit, pump a bit of new life into this. Because when you have movies that are, it's like, wow, it was in the top five and it made less than 6 million, and I'm saying that it will stay in the top five, losing 40% of its box office. I'm actually hoping that something gets $3 million so it can stay in the top five. We need some new movies pumped in this
just a bit.
I have a feeling that come like January, it could get rough. It could get really rough. We might have to just start doing Oscar speculation at that point, just to have an episode worth talking about.
All right. Anything else we want to hit on before we?
That's depressing to think about.
Yeah. You brought us to silence.
Well, I mean, the next couple of weeks, the next 2 weeks, we have three new releases each week that are opening wide. And there are movies that are going either wide or limited expansion, because like it looks like next week The Fighter might be going wide expansion, so it could actually be getting enough screens to be worth talking about. Perhaps Black Swan, the week after that, could be getting enough screens to be worth talking about. So,
well, I'm a little gun shy. Ever since, you know, they said Fair Game was going wide release, and that meant to 222 theaters.
True. They didn't say it was going wide release. They just said it's expanding.
Right.
To be fair, I have seen commercials for Black Swan. I have yet to see a commercial for Fair Game.
I haven't seen a commercial, but I have seen an attractive book cover with Sean Penn and Naomi Watts on it.
Black Swan made a lot of money for
18 theaters. Yeah, it did.
Theaters. $80,000 per theater.
It's getting a lot of Oscar bugs.
This is why I'm saying Warrior's Way couldn't pull in more than $2,000 a theater, and Black Swan got $80,000.
Yeah,
come on.
Well, it's getting a tremendous amount of Oscar buzz too.
True.
It sounds like Natalie Portman is an early contender for best actor, female.
Hmm. Best actor, really.
Listen to him. It's not best actress, it's best actor female. They're being politically correct.
I did not know that.
Hey.
When did that happen?
I don't know, but this guy does a movie podcast, you know. I'm on top of these things.
Interesting.
Well, hey, in January, The Green Hornet is coming out.
Oh.
I do not have high expectations for the box office on that movie.
Well, Seth Rogen's got some name appeal, man.
He does, but the Green Hornet?
I'm telling you.
This is a movie.
Seth Rogen's got some name
this
appeal.
Is a movie,
the Green Hornet does not.
Yeah, this is a movie that Kevin Smith walked away from. So let's, you know.
Yeah, but you know, it's a superhero movie. Superheroes are not unpopular right now. It's box office.
January.
Well, yeah, they're not holding a lot of hope out for it.
No.
They're tossing it out there when there's going to be nothing against it.
I found the trailers entertaining, but I mean, that's really all I know about it. So
yeah, the trailers are all right, but for me, they're less interesting than Green Lantern trailers that I've been seeing. That I've been hearing people bash on, so...
And we don't need to revisit the Green Lantern trailer discussion. Well, take us out, Tony Mast. Sign us off.
See ya. No. If you can't be good, be safe. I'll see you guys next week.
See you next week.
See ya.